All right, welcome to our class this evening. Steve is supposed to be back on Sunday, and he'll be here for about three sessions, and then he's gone again. So anyway, we are glad to have everyone here, and hopefully we can obtain some good things out of this class tonight. We had a fairly decent class on Sunday, so we'll see how this one turns out. Tonight we're, of course, talking further about how to build your dream home, a place for couples, kids, and Jesus in the rooms of our homes is a critical thing in our lives. But Jesus, if He is in our homes, it'll help us to withstand storms. We'll have to have Jesus and His Word as a foundation. And of course, we learn that from what? Come on. Somebody say something.
Wise man
built his house on the rock. What was the main thing about building that house? What? Say it.
Foundation.
The foundation. Very good. Thank you. The foundation that house was built on. That is critical. That's why we need Jesus in our home, because He is the foundation for our home. This lesson begins with a trivia question. I guess you noticed that. And you've already looked at the answer, so I can't, no need of going over it, but I will. Jesus' favorite home to visit was
Mary,
Martha, and
Lazarus.
Okay, very good. And the reason that He felt good towards them, why do you think He would feel good towards them? What would cause someone to feel good towards you in your home?
They welcomed them.
You welcomed them, okay? That's one thing. What else?
In Mark, when He was on the cross, it specifically says that they ministered to Him.
Okay, they ministered to Him. That's right. So there's several things that can be done when somebody comes to your home. Mary and Martha had specific tasks. You want to call it that? What was Mary's? What was her main thinking?
To listen
and that's the main thing, to listen and to perform. Now Martha was busy with
in the kitchen.
Yeah. Now is anything wrong being busy in the kitchen? No, man, that's a good part. You know, when somebody comes visit you, you have good meals, you know, and those kind of things. And it's very important. In Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 38 through 42, says, "Now it came to pass as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she said had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." She was concerned about what the Lord had to say. And that is a critical thing in our homes, that we need to be concerned about what the Lord has to say. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 17, said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, we can be a part of Him if we are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's what has to be a part of our home. In John 11, 35, we find, John 11, 5, I'm sorry, we find that now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Okay, so he had a great affection for them. And we know that he had compassion for them. When you drop down to verse 35, what does it say about Jesus? 11:35. He wept. Why did he weep? What had happened? Why did he weep? Lazarus would die. But, could Jesus have stopped that way back? Yeah, he could have. But he didn't for a reason. Okay? He had a specific reason for that. And so he did not choose to do that. He wanted to show his ability to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so he did that. Well, have you ever considered whether or not Jesus would feel comfortable in your house? Have you considered that? If he came in, what would be the first thing he would see? Give me an idea. What would he see? What?
The living room.
Living room? Could have walked in the living room, yeah. And on a normal day, what would be taking place in that room, maybe? And we'll get in some rooms here in a minute. What would normally take place in some of these rooms if Jesus walked in? Unannounced, okay? Ding dong. Jesus is here. What? Would we be ashamed for him to walk in? That's what I'm wanting to know. I mean, are we doing anything that he might not like? If he came in my house, he'd probably hear the TV blaring. Yours? Anybody else that way? Yeah. You go. Those are some things that go on today. We're going to talk about the TV in just a few minutes. But we want not only Jesus, but if it's a stranger come, they should feel just as welcome as Jesus. That's what Jesus talks about, Have you entertained strangers? By the way, have you? How many of you have had someone you did not know in your home to spend the night? Good. There's at least one besides me. All right. Good. That's fine. Now, what's this all about? What's this trying to tell us? What are we trying to get across here in this thing about doing things for people? When you have preachers come and preach, sometimes they need a place to stay. Okay? And we're going to get into this a little bit more in the dining area. But some of our fondest memories, my fondest memories, was when way back, Brother Granville Tyler, I don't know if any of you ever remember him or not. Y'all all too young, I'm sorry. But Brother Granville Tyler used to preach in Decatur for years and years. And he came and held a meeting for when my mom and dad were around. And that's a long time ago, by the way. But he just enjoyed going to mom and dad's home. And we had him, when we had a meeting here, he came to our house. And he had the keenest voice. And he'd say, "Freddie, you know I just love going to your mother's house. But I tell you this, if you didn't get to the table on time, them three brothers of yours would eat you out of house and home. You wouldn't get nothing." But just things like that, that just you can look back at great people. And we've had them in our home. Tim remembers some that have come into our homes. And one of the things we did was sit around the kitchen table a lot of times, and they would tell stories that they had come into and had done and witnessed and those kind of things. So It's a real good time to have Jesus in your home, regardless of what room it is. He needs to be the foundation of every room, and we'll get to that. Would he think your home was a place, a little home away from home? You know, that's hard to comprehend that it would be a heaven. No, I don't think it would be that. But it could be a real little taste of home, heaven, if our home is like it ought to be. Okay. This lesson, let's think a little more literally about what happens in different rooms. And we'll look at each of these in just a moment. In the parable of the wise and foolish builders, the two houses may have looked exactly the same. But when the floods came and beat upon that house, then that's when everything hits the fan, that the waters come and destroys those places. In Luke, the 6th chapter in verse 48, it says, "He is like a man which built a house, digged deep, and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose, the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock." And that's the kind of thing that we want in our home, is it's founded on our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we can consider Him as we go through these different rooms, then we will understand what this lesson is all about. Proverbs, the 24th chapter, in verse 3 and 4, says, "Through wisdom is the house builded, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled, all precious and pleasant riches." Those are the kind of things that we want to look at in our homes. And as we consider further what all of this is going to entail, we look at Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, how that Jesus Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. And if He's in our hearts, then He'll be in our home. So we need to be sure that He is a part of our house and our home. And in John, the 14th chapter, he says, in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him." So, we're going to start out with the library. And the library is a place where what's generally there? Books, okay? What specific book should always be in our library? The Bible, yeah. Now, does that mean it stays on the shelf? No, that's not what he's talking about. But it means that there are not only Bibles, there are reference books, the things that can help us to learn and teach and those kind of things, to help our minds to grow. And much is said about the connection between Jesus' Word and our minds. 1 Peter 1:13 and following says, "Wherefore gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So we need to follow Jesus and have His book as our central book in our library. Well, perhaps you've heard the old joke about the courtroom drama where they had lost the Bible, misplaced it in the courtroom. They could nothing to put their hand on to swear the people in. And the judge said, there's old brother so-and-so, he's a Church of Christ. You know, of course that's not a good term, but just put him up here and we'll just put your hand on him. That's, they know the Bible. So I'm not sure that in today's world if we could fill that bill. But it was true years ago. A lot of people really knew the Bible. And we're getting there with our teaching program here at Eastside. I'm thankful to say that. And I hope you'll work with your children so that they will learn to know the Bible from beginning to end. And it'll be, I'm amazed at the difference in what it used to be for me and what it is now. And some of these children that's growing up, and I mean, they're very, very knowledgeable. Steve says he can always pick out kids from Eastside or Pepper Road, either one, that are in his classes because they know the Bible. They know it. Well, that's a good thing to have in your repertoire or whatever it is. But to be able to have a place to go and study that, and we all need to study and we need to dig deep to get a good foundation. Well, when we're there, well, when the book is there, what can it keep us from getting into? Trouble. If we go ahead and finish it. I mean, just because the book's there, it's not going to keep us out of trouble. Right? So we have to study it and
understand
and do it. Okay? Those are the kind of things that we have to do. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. This is what Proverbs writer said. You've set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. Now this is the writer of Proverbs is saying this. I'll mock when your fear cometh. In other words, you're not going to obey God. And when you run into all these calamities and problems, do we not do that same thing? I knew he was going to... That guy running 90 miles, I knew he was going to get caught. You know, we do those kind of things today. But the proverb writer said that. Well, another thing that we might protect us from would be, what else if the Bible is there? Satan's attacks. Okay? And that's still the same way. And Jesus had an answer to Satan. What was his answer to Satan when he was tempted? What was one of the three words that he said? What are those three words?
It is written.
What does that mean? What does that say? The Bible says it. Okay? Look, Satan, the Bible says this. Okay? It's written. So don't try to tempt me with this. And in Matthew, the 4th chapter, it talks a little bit about that scenario when he went up and was tempted. You know, the first thing the devil wanted to do was to change what? What?
Bread.
Stones into bread. Okay, rocks into bread. The second one was, come on.
To jump off the... Flip or something and have the angels come down.
Well, the pinnacle of the temple, I think that's actually the next one, but that's alright. And what was the other one that's left?
Worship.
Fall down and worship him, you know. And Jesus said, you know, each time, you know, it's written, you know. And where did he find it written? Where was it written, what Jesus was talking about? God's Word. Where? New Testament, Old Testament? Where? Where did Jesus come up with that phrase? It's in the Old Testament. Jesus went back and he would say, it is written. And it was written. Those kind of things were way back. And so Jesus goes back and pulls it from back there, the truth, as it should be. Well, sometimes there's another thing that it can keep us from. What else? It can keep us, what? What's the third one there?
Calm and steady.
Calm and steady. Yeah, Isaiah talks about that a little bit. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So if we have Christ and we trust in him and do those things that he says we should, then we're going to find perfect peace in our lives and in that library room. Okay, so let's go to the family room. And this is a room a lot of times that we... a place to relax most of the time. You know, we kick back in our lounge chair and got a remote here and a remote for this and a remote for that. Turn the fan on, the light on, or whatever. You know, we got those things that we enjoy. But it's a time to be yourself, enjoy each other's company, children playing around us, you know, with their toys or whatever it might be. I've been there. I had three. I know all about it. And they can put on quite a show sometimes. They love to build little houses. You know, they'd put a sheet over something and they'd crawl under it and those kind of things. And it was good, wholesome stuff. I mean, it wasn't anything bad about it. And it was good, wholesome being with the parents, you know, at times. There's later on in life, it's not that way because we got to work, right? And besides that, we have to work, overtime, you know. Sometimes we don't have a choice about overtime. I've been there and done all of that too, I know. And it's a tough time sometimes. But it's a place where you can a lot of times discuss everyday problems with family, maybe even with the children. Something that's come up at school you need to talk about. Opportunities to discuss God's Word. Maybe answer a question, you know, that the children may have or someone. Resolve religious differences may be there. It's time to talk with each other. If there's problems and questions, then do that. Sometimes family devotion in this place and where the Word is taught. Games played. Sometimes we even get to make vacation plans. You know, play games, those kind of things. But one of the things that we want to do is to be sure that we teach the children. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, talks about that. It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Bind them for a sign upon thine hand, be frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates." What's that saying in a nutshell?
That God should be everywhere.
Everywhere. In everything we do. Yeah. And including our children, you know. And they need to see God working in us as we do that. Well, in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 2, it talks about the Lord God said, "Thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy sons' sons." Ooh, who is your sons' sons? Great grandchildren, isn't it? Sons' sons? That'd be grandchildren, I guess. Thy son and thy son's sons. That'd be grandchildren. So we have a responsibility to help them to know the Bible. I remember when Colton was just small, and whenever he would come and visit, first thing he would do, he'd get the Bible that in our library. He'd get it out, and he'd get a song book. And here you go, you know. And thankfully, he's turned out to be a fine young man. Thankful for him and for all the blessings that he has been and hopefully will be for the Lord. And we're thankful to have those kind of children and grandchildren coming up. And that's not an easy task, folks. Your work is cut out. But you can do it, okay? But you have to determine you're going to do it and spend the time necessary for them to learn these things. And we talked about one thing that's kind of under siege because of this family room is the TV. And a lot of times it takes precedent. And even with children, even teeny children, you know, that keeps them from crying sometimes, does it? Yeah, it does. And I understand that. And our children grew up with Sesame Street. I don't know if they even have that anymore or not. But anyway, they learned a lot of things from Sesame Street. But there are also computer games, you name it, and they're out there. All kind of electronics. Are there electronics for teaching the Bible? There are some. And if you look, you can find them. And whether they're all exactly right, I wouldn't say that, but they would get the gist of the idea from some of them. So choose carefully what you would use. Okay, as we look at the next room, it's the dining room. And this is one of the rooms that